Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
This morning, I'm going to be continuing my sermon series in the book of Ecclesiastes. So today, we're going to work out of chapter 3, verse 11. And it reads, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." This morning's sermon is about God's blessing of time in our lives. Time plays a significant role in our lives. It is precious. It is something that we can't get back when it's gone. Yet we only tend to look forward in time, to like punching out on the time clock at work or retirement. Friends, truly, now is the time to embrace it. Time to make our minutes matter. Because we are not guaranteed today, never mind what tomorrow brings. As we all know, life is unpredictable. Life is short, and it seems to go by quicker than anticipated as we grow older. The brevity of life is described in the Bible as like a shadow, or like a vanishing vapor. So Psalm 90 verse 12 reads, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So let's look at what King Solomon writes about the cycle of life and how these things are common to all of humanity. So today I'm going to cover chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Furthermore, you will notice that in the first 8 or so verses, these verses are conveyed in a start-to-finish type of allegory, or a big picture. So let's begin. Verse 1 reads, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." So right here, we see that God is a God of order. Everything has an appointed time. This refutes such theories such as the Big Bang theory, in which everything got created because of an explosion in the universe. Friends, order cannot come from chaos. Try throwing a box of puzzle pieces on the ground and let's see if that puzzle magically puts itself together. It's impossible, just like the Big Bang theory. Acts 17:26 reads, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." So again, God is the perfect designer, and everything is set in its appointed time. Verse 2 reads, "A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted." As part of our humanity, we are all born and we all die, unless Jesus raptures us out of here, which could happen at any time. So friends, stay vigilant in our walks as we look forward to His return. But again, unless that happens, we're all going to die. It's part of life. It's part of humanity. To plant and to pluck what is planted can refer to as the seeds of life. And when those seeds ripen and bring forth fruit, they are ready to be plucked and used for a greater purpose. And friends, God has planted many seeds of talent or love or compassion in our lives to serve in different ministries. So I would urge you to discover what those seeds are, because chances are those seeds are ripe and ready to bring glory to God and to bear the fruit of Christ. Verse 3 reads, a time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. Now this is a hard verse for me to grapple, considering the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. However, upon studying various commentaries, thou shalt not kill means committing premeditated murder. It doesn't mean that we can't protect our families from intruders or protect our country from war. So there is a time to kill, but more often there is a time to heal. The Christian ministry is about helping the lost to find their spiritual healing through Jesus. To help people realize the imminent need for a Savior, which is only found in Jesus. And we as Christians are to have that servant type attitude like Jesus towards others. That is what we are called for. That verse also reads, then there is a time to break down and build up. So, part of humanity, we all wreck things in our lives. And then we all come to a time of restoration in our lives. Rebuilding friendships, rebuilding trust, etc. A time to build up. Something we need to do more for others. Because we all know it's easy to break someone down. But the challenge is to build someone up. Verse 4 reads, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. So we all have good days and bad days. We all have peaks and valleys. Again, it's all a part of the cycle of life that we all go through. But thankfully, we have a God who goes through these things with us. Psalm 23:4 reads, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You are my your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So again, we have a God who's with us in the good times as well as the bad times. Verse 5 reads, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So this could be referred to the process of clearing away to build. The part of life that is about selecting things and then rejecting things. As Bruce Lee would say, to absorb what is useful and reject what is useless. Then there is a time to embrace and show compassion towards others. And then we have a time to refrain from embracing. Like now, during the coronavirus period. So there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6 reads, a time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. So there are times where we reach and we strive for things in life, and then we go through a time of abandoning those very things. For instance, you see people build massive collections of toys or whatever, and then you see them later on in life just sell them off. So this verse is about sorting out what is valuable in your life and discarding the rest. Verse 7 reads, a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. The rending or tearing of the clothes was a Jewish custom in biblical times to show a sign of grief or contrition or anger or whatever emotion. So that's what they would do. They would tear their garments. And then the sewing of the clothes was a sign of resolve. So we all go through some grief or loss, and then we come to terms with that grief and begin a time of healing. And then the verse reads, there is a time to speak as well as a time to listen. Verse 8 reads, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So we all experience love, and then there is a time when we may feel or experience some injustice in our lives. Friends, the Bible, it doesn't teach us to hate people, but to hate the injustice or hate the sin. Just like in our lives as Christians, the sin that we used to love should be the sin that we now hate. Our hearts should break for the same things that break God's. So there is a time of love and a time of hate. Then there is a time for war, and then there is a time for peace and resolution. So again, all these things are common to humanity and have its time in the cycle of life. So Solomon questions in verse 9 and 10, he says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. So Solomon's conclusion to his own question is in verse 11. It reads, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also he has, concerning God, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So I just want to break down that verse into applications. The first application is that God has made everything beautiful in its time. So in its time can refer to in its existence. For humans, we have a prime in our life when we are at our best. Again, time is precious. Because as time passes, we start to fade with age. We are not at our peak physically or mentally. We start to lose things and become needy for things to help us or aid us in one shape or form. I'm reminded of a quote from the movie Creed. It's a spin-off from the Rocky movies. And the character Adonis asked Rocky Balboa, how did you beat Apollo? Because Rocky claimed that Apollo was the best. So Rocky said, time beat him. Time takes everybody out. It's undefeated. So the question is for us to consider, how are you allocating your precious time? Are you using your gifts and blessings before you start losing them, or they become unavailable before time or anything takes them away? 1 Peter 4:7 reads, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Continuing in verse 10, it reads, As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, even if we are past our prime, does that mean we ought to stop serving the Lord? No. No. As a matter of fact, we could do better serving the Lord past our prime. Many people receive Jesus at any given age. So it's never too late. Never too late to bring glory to God. But regardless, time is precious. We have to press on. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 read, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run and endure with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Second application is, God has put eternity in our hearts. This is so evident. Look at the early civilizations, such as the Egyptians, what they did through mummification to preserve the body for the next life. Ancient Greeks, same thing. They believed in the afterlife as well. And their funerals were a major aspect to the transition, one, into the afterlife. So they created these proper rituals that would enable the body to enter the afterlife peacefully. And if the rituals went wrong, for some reason, then the body would go to Hades. So yes, God has put eternity in our hearts. He has given us a conscience. Whether we deny it or not, we know that there is more to us than just this life on earth. Psalm 89, verses 47 and 48 read, "Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Selah." So man has come up with many ways and readiness to try to make their afterlife a state of peace. The problem is that man has tried so many ways to reach God and have a good afterlife that it all failed. Man's wisest and craftiest ways are futile. But we can rejoice because God has provided one way through himself to gain eternal peace. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Amen. See, God has made a way for man to receive him and enter into his holy eternal kingdom. But remember, time is precious. The human life is a vapor in God's eyes. 2 Peter 3:9 reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So friends, God has put eternity in your heart. I would urge you not to suppress the truth. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Jesus came for you. He lived for you. He died for you. And he rose for you. If you are without Christ, I would urge you to receive him in your heart, because there is no better time than now. 2 John 2:9 reads, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Third application reads, no one can know all of God's work from beginning to end. Deuteronomy 29:29 reads, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do the words of the Lord. So yes, God withholds knowledge from us, perhaps because our finite minds couldn't grasp all the aspects that concern God and His totality. But praise God for the unveiling of Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Word, which serves as a guide in our lives. Yes, what He gives belongs to us. Jesus is ours, and we are His. It's comforting to place our trust and faith in Him, to know that all His miracles, His teachings, His promises, and His work and His divine plan to redeem undeserving sinners such as ourselves is true. And He welcomes all who believe into His eternal kingdom. It's awesome because we're on His back. He's carrying us. And God revealed these things to us so that we may believe. John 20, verses 30 and 31 read, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So the totality of life is one big circle of things common to all men. The main thing in the center of that life, that circle of life, is God. So friends, consider your time before God. Because, again, it's short. Life is like a vapor. There's no time now, better than now, to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, again, speaking about time, we know that everything has an appointed time, and this country right now, this world is going through a difficult time. But this is a season, and it shall pass. We can be comforted, Father. We thank You that You can continue to comfort us and that You will not leave us nor forsake us, not leave us orphans, but comfort us with some peace through Your Word, through the relationship we have with Your Son Jesus. We thank You for all things, Father. Father, with this time that we have, I pray that we as brothers and sisters use it to redeem. We redeem the time. Make it edifying for ourselves, to bring glory to You, to dig into Your Word. I pray that this time helps us grow stronger as a church, as Your people, as Your sons and daughters. And I pray that this time helps us to become brighter vessels, vessels of mercy out in this lost and dying world. Father, thank You for what You have done for us through Your Son, taking away our sin bondage, bringing us, drawing us closer to You through Your Son. Thank You, Father, for all that You do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.